have you believed the message? That's a question that's personal. You don't have to look to the person to the left or the right. All you have to do is look at the person in the mirror. And ask yourself, have I believed the message that has been said? As Pastor Lee said, this is our Holy Week revival. And this is the week that we remember the events that has led up to our Savior entering into Jerusalem and eventually going to Calvary's cross, dying and being raised on that Sunday morning. I had a friend that always says, the tomb in Jerusalem is empty. I have not been there. I have not been there, but I know of folks who have been there, and they will testify that the tomb in Jerusalem is still empty. There's no occupants there. There's no one in there. It's empty because the Savior has fulfilled his task as coming, dying, and rising up on the third day morning. When I was a little younger, I went to Prairie View A&M University, and I had an opportunity while I was there to go hear Louis Farrakhan speak. And I don't remember what his text was. I don't remember what the body of his message was all about, but I remember what his topic was. Yeah. His topic was heed the call, y'all. Heed the call, y'all. And the midst of his testimony was that we ought to become united in our beliefs and in our nation and become people who are coming, are stronger in our commitment as black folks, that we might become leaders in our nation. Yeah. And his call was not for me just to hear it. Okay. Not for us just to sit out in the audience and hear these pretty words that he was talking about. Not just to sit there and look at each other while he sat there and told us why we ought to heed the call. But his message was there that it might influence us, that it might touch us, that it might cause us not only to take it in, but to put some action behind it. He didn't want us just to hear it. But his word ought to motivate us enough, ought to give us some excitement and some enthusiasm that ought to cause us to get up from where we are and put what he said into application, to put it up into our lives. And brothers and sisters, tonight, I think that's the kind of message that Isaiah is trying to share with us tonight. A message that would cause us not just to hear the goodness of God, not just to hear what God has done, that we might have the privilege of sitting here tonight, but one that ought to tickle us enough to cause us and to put us into action. Yeah, it ought to cause something to happen. We ought to be motivated. We ought to be encouraged. Just the mere fact that this week what God has already done. Yeah, that you and I might be saved. But I want us to understand that Isaiah put some warnings into place. Yeah, he put some warnings out there. When he writes this 53rd songs or this 53rd passage of scripture, he puts it there to allow us to recognize where we were. Not so much where others other folks are, but you have to recognize where you are. Yeah, as where you are in the message. And so here in Isaiah 53, in the A part, he says to us, who has believed our message? Yeah. He raises this rhetorical question. He raises it, the design to create us, to be fit in our efforts and our actions, and to point to us to what we need to, what is really needed, that we might get the answer. Who has believed our message? Is this the question Isaiah was asking the people with an amazement? Who has believed the message? He had just told them in chapter 52, he had just told them about this Messiah that would come. He had just told them about the Messiah who would be called a suffering servant, one who would be despised, one who will be rejected, a man of sorrow and acquainted with our griefs, and as one whom men hid their faces and despised, and we esteemed him not. After all he did, Isaiah says, is we didn't do anything to pump him up or to lift him up. Paul tells us that even in these days and times when he was out witnessing and telling men about this Christ that had went to Calvary and died, that his countrymen still rejected. Right. Rejected Christ and not receive him unto their own. They had heard what Jesus said. They had seen the miracles in which he had performed, but they still rejected him. 1 Corinthians 1 and 18 says this, for the word of the cross is to them that perishes foolishness, but unto them that are saved, it is the power of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. And today, my brothers and sisters, I want us to know that even in these days and times in which we're living, folks are still rejecting the prophecies and rejecting what God has already told us. The provision that God had already made, folks are still rejecting. Rejecting the message that Jesus has left on word for us. And folks are still walking around as if there has not been any message left for us to have salvation. And not only did they disbelieve, brothers and sisters, not only did they disbelieve the message in which Isaiah had called before them, not only did they regard or disregard what he had said about this coming Messiah, but he also said that to whom has the arm of the Lord has been revealed, that the message that was regarding this Savior, that not only did they reject his word that he would come, but they rejected the power that he had. Lord have mercy. They rejected the power that would come in this Messiah. The term arms of the Lord refers to the power. And in Isaiah time, the people did not get a lot of the power of God. And they didn't get it because of their disobedience. And whenever we become disobedient to God, sometimes God refused to move on our behalf. And during Isaiah time, they didn't see so much of this power of God. They were living in a time of turmoil. They were living in a time when they were struggling and going through different perils of life. And they could not see the power of God. And even though in their time, they didn't see the power of God. But I wanted to know that even in the rough times of life does not mean that God has lost his power. When we're struggling and it seems like the struggling gets the best of us, I wanted to know that it does not mean that the God we serve does not have any power. But I wanted you to know that they had already had an opportunity to experience the power of God. when they were at the Red Sea and God parted the water, that was a demonstration of his power. When they were brought to the land that was flowing with milk and honey, they were able to cross over to a land in which living houses that they did not build, eat from the vineyards that they did not plant. I want you to know this night that that is a demonstration of God's power. And when they got over there and they got into the land where they had a whole lot of enemies, and the enemies was mounting up against them, even though they were not a large continent of people, God defended them and God gave them the victory. That's a sign, and that's a demonstration of the power of God. That's the demonstration that God still have all power above heaven and earth in his hand. And I'm afraid that we've seen the power of God. We've seen God move in our lives. We've watched God do miraculous works in the life of the believer. But yet I tell you, there's those that reject the power of God. But when Jesus comes on the scene, scripture tells me that the power of God was working through him. When Jesus comes on the scene, the power of God is demonstrated in the life and the walks of the times of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Scripture says he healed the sick. He gave sight to blind Bartimaeus. He healed a woman who had an issue of blood. He raised Lazarus after the fourth day out of the grave. Is a demonstration of the power in which our Lord and Savior had. He had that power that God had given unto him. And not only did he have it, but people were able to display the power in which God has. John 12, 35, 37 and 38 says, but though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. This was the fulfillment of the word that Isaiah the prophet, which spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? And whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Isaiah prophesied that in this day, people rejected the power that had been revealed by God. And in Jesus' day, the people rejected the power that God was displaying through his son, Jesus Christ. His wondrous works should have convinced them that he was the Son of God. They confessed no other man have ever been able to do the things that you do except he be sent by God. And no, brothers and sisters, they ought to have been able to be realized that this God that we serve has power. And my brothers and sisters, I don't know tonight. I don't want any of us to be fooled. But even in today, the power of God and the evidence of those in which he has saved is still being brought to question. There's those who accept the fact that God is God and he has power. But then there are also those who have seen the power of God and yet will not accept it. But whenever Jesus demonstrates his power, Isaiah says that people ought not reject the power, but ought to be drawn because God had revealed this power unto them. Power that works in the lives of millions today. Power that has given healing power to those that were sick. Power that has raised those about their beds of affliction. Power that has fed those that was hungry. Power that has stepped in the life of the unbeliever and made him say, power. I tell you, it's power in the name of Jesus. Power in that name. So much power in that name. But still, there's folks that rejects the power. So brothers and sisters, not only were those that did not believe, not only was it those who rejected the power, but I want you to know there was those who rejected the person of our Savior as his own. For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of the parched ground. He has no stately majesty. Boy, Satan getting busy. Lord have mercy. Pray for me. He has no stately majesty. And he should look upon him. No appearance that we should be attracted to him. Isaiah prophesies there during a time that is described as a spiritual drought. Not as if the word of God had not been preached. The word had been preached and it had been prophesied. But there were those that still didn't receive the word of God. Did not receive what God had to say. But I want us to understand that even though it's not those that would not receive, they would not receive the word of God, that means that they were spiritually dead. And they were dead because they had not received the living word of God. And because they had not received the living word of God, it says it was like parched ground. They were dry. They were dried all up. I think Isaiah said it was like a bone, like a valley of dry bones. Had no life to it. They were dead, and they could not, or they didn't have any life in them. But I tell you today is that even though they didn't know the word of God, even though they had not accepted God in their life, but Isaiah said is that there come a time on the day that the land and the ground was dried up. But it wasn't in Isaiah's time only, but it was also in Jesus' time. Jesus preached the word of God. And while he preached the word of God, there were those that did not accept him. Those who would not hear the word of God. There was a spiritual drought in the land. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know tonight that there is a spiritual drought in our land. The world is in the condition that it is in right now because there is a spiritual drought in the land. The word of God is not being preached. The word is not, God is not being shared. And that means the people does not hear that there is some healing available. They do not hear that God has already made a way. That God has already prepared a way for them. But they did not hear the good news story. Satan, you won't get the win or the victory tonight. Because I want you to understand that there were a drought time in that time. But God gave his son. That we who are living in a dry world might have a chance to have eternal life. And the word says is that Jesus came down here and walked these mundane shores. And if the church does not meet anymore, well, I want to leave this with you tonight. That before the close of the page, of Isaiah page, he said that God sent a message. And I want to tell y'all, I said in the beginning of the open, that is that I must believe in the message. Who has believed in the message? Who has heard the message. Well, I want you to know tonight that Jesus tells us what the message is. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, turn from your evil ways, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And brothers and sisters, I'm glad, I'm so glad that that was not the end of the story. I'm telling y'all, because on this week, Jesus turned his face toward Jerusalem for the very last time. And it said on Palm Sunday, he rode in on a donkey, putting down palm leaves and clothes in his pathway. And he kept on marching into Jerusalem. Somebody said, the Pharisees cried out, Jesus, make them be quiet. Don't you know, brothers and sisters, when we know what the message is, somebody is always telling us that we ought to be quiet. Don't tell nobody what's going on in your life. Don't tell nobody that it was God and God by himself. Pick me up out of the miry clay. Turn me around. Place my feet on solid ground. Somebody always trying to tell you, don't talk about this man that's called Jesus. And the word says is that he kept on marching. He kept on heading in to Jerusalem. Walked on down the Dolorosa. Kept on going down Dolorosa until he climbed up a hill called Calvary. Word says is he stumbled and he fell. But he kept on going up the hill. He stumbled on the second time going up the hill. But he kept on going up the hill. He had a reason and a purpose for going up the hill. He kept going up the hill until he got to the top. And there up on the top, he allowed them to lay him down. Laid him out on an old rugged cross. Put spikes in his hands and rivets in his feet. I tell you, he had a purpose for going to the cross. And then they dropped him down low and lifted him up high. And he didn't say anything, but he just stayed there. The thief on the right hand, a thief on the left. One said, if you be God, why don't you come down and save yourself? But the thief on the right said, I know that you're the Son of God. And when you get to your kingdom, would you please remember me? I told y'all he got a purpose and a reason for coming. Isaiah talked about him, but Jesus appeared. And when he appeared, he went to Calvary, and then they said he died. He died from the sixth to the ninth hour. He died till the moon dripped down in blood. He died till the earth took an epileptic seizure and began to reel and rock. He died, I tell you. He died till the S-U-N closed up his eyes because the S-O-N was dying out on the cross. I tell you, he got a purpose and a reason for dying. Up on the Calvary's cross, it said from the sixth to the ninth hour, he died, didn't he die? He died, didn't he die? He died, dropped his head in the lock of his shoulder, told his daddy it was all over with, closed his eyes and gave up the ghost, and he died, I tell you. Thank God, thank God, thank God. That's not the end of the story. Thank God my message came down, I tell you. They took my Rock of Ages, took him down off a cross, laid him on a rock, inside of a rock. He stayed there all night Friday night, all day Saturday, all night Saturday night. But it was early. It was early. It was early Sunday morning. Before the rooster started crowing, before the dew got up off the ground, it was early, I tell you. My Rock of Ages, my Rock of Ages, clap for me. My Rock of Ages got up off the rock, folded up his grave clothes, wasn't in no heaven, folded his grave clothes, rode a rock away, walked out of the rock. Right on resurrection morning, he woke up with all power. All power. All power. All power. The message is, the message, walk away with tonight that he was born. He lived. He died. He buried. He rose. And he ascended into heaven. That you and I might have the right to eternal life.
All right. That's the gospel. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. I said that's the gospel. Some of the stuff we hear preaching today is not the gospel. But that's the gospel. Amen. Isaiah 53. Those two verses. One word you need to walk away with. Reject it. If you look at it. He was rejected. Imagine coming in as king, but not king like we know. See, we run after popular things. But when we get to heaven, we're going to be real surprised that Jesus that we see on Chosen, that Jesus that we see on TV, that ain't the Jesus. But the Jesus in the Bible. Now, the Jew cannot read that passage. It's very hard. When I was in Israel, we met with a rabbi and we at the hotel, and that was one passage he didn't want to talk about because it points to Jesus.